Hey, you're listening to Apostates on the Fringe, the atheist leftist podcast where we bitch about Christian fascism. We're your hosts. I'm Alistair.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Sam.
We're sponsored by Atheist Society of Knoxville.
That we are. Hey, Sam, how was Asheville?
Asheville is cool. I was actually just about to look up the name of the cool anarchist bookstore that I found. I was going to give them a shout out, but I'm going to have to do that in a minute because I'm going to have to Google them. I forgot their name. So thanks for calling me out on that.
I mean, because so I thought of you when I was getting my beer because you and I, we've had Highland Brewing before. Highland Brewing is, of course, out of Asheville. And they claim that this is Asheville's first beer. It's their Gaelic Ale. And, of course, I've most of everything from Highland Brewing I've kind of enjoyed. And this is, again, a good one. How many more of those do you have, Sam, of your... international delight, as I call it,
yeah, because my fancy ass beer that cost me like $25.
Yeah, how much? You have two.
I got
left?
Two more weeks. I'm going to drag it out.
Was it Firestorm?
Bookstore? That sounds right. Yeah, yeah, they're awesome. Check them out. I got a children's book for my girlfriend's children because I'm tired of like they're like let's go to the mall and I'm like. No, because we're going to learn about how capitalism sucks, and I'm not going to stop talking about it if we go there. So I walked into the store, and I overheard a grade school teacher talking to the guy at the desk, being like, you have great resources for children here. And I'm like, I wish I had a children's book that explained communists to children. and that is exactly what they had, the ABCs of anarchy.
He's like, aha, we have such a thing for you, sir.
They have all the such things that you would want. Like, got some shirts, got some pins. Fuck Tanky pin, because fuck Tankies. Did you find your shit?
Did you find your...
No, oh, I'm so sad. I'm going to go up to Asheville just to replace those stickers.
Oh, yeah, you need to check that place out. You need to network. You need to be like, what's up? How can I help? You need to help us. Let's get this together.
Yeah, I'd love to have one of those down here in Knoxville.
Reach out on your Possum Press.
What beer did you grab? This is something new. I haven't seen this yet.
Yeah, I just went to the grocery store because I was running late, even though I got here on time. Pretty close on time. I got it's New Belgium's 1554. It's an enlightened dark beer.
Do you feel enlightened? Have you?
I don't know what the fuck that even means. but it's pretty good.
Let me tell you something that I found this week that I didn't know what it means. Coke came out with a new product. This fucking it's called space flavored. I don't know what they called it something else. And I was like, I gotta at least try it because it's fucking, it looks weird. And it had like this weird red tint. And apparently, according to them, the way it tastes, if you haven't tried it, I don't know if our listeners have, it's like someone's eating a graham cracker and drinking a Coke. They literally fused that
weird
flavor. It's very fucking weird. Like, I couldn't get through the whole bottle.
Yeah.
But they're pushing that.
They are pushing it. I've seen it a lot of places.
I forgot what else they called it. And then, so Mountain Dew, hard Mountain Dew, is now a thing in Tennessee. I haven't found it yet, but I'm going to try it.
Hard Mountain Dew.
It's available in only three states, apparently. Tennessee, of course, is one of them because Tennessee.
But where do we find it?
I haven't found it yet, but I will be on the search beginning tomorrow. Today was just a hectic day.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a lot of things going on. So, Al, you and I decided we wanted to get a jump on the Truth Social bandwagon. Is that what it's called? Truth Social, right?
Yeah, Truth Social.
The funny thing about that is when you sign in, apparently, like, they don't have the means to process a lot of new registrants. And I want to quote this because this is hilarious. So you and I both got the same message. Thank you for joining. Due to the massive demand, we have placed you on our wait list. We love you, and you're not just another number, but your number is below. Which is so hilarious to me. You're not just a number, but here's your number, bitch. And mine has, I'm stuck at 483,000
still. Oh,
you're
still stuck.
Yeah, I haven't moved at all.
Wait, you were
483?
483,772.
You sure yours didn't move?
I'm spanking the refresh button. I've logged out. I've logged back in.
I know, but yours was like several thousand higher than mine the other day.
It was a few hundred.
Okay.
But it has not moved at one bit, and that's just another failure. I know, like, but we've heard, like, a lot of people that once they even come out of the wait list, they're immediately banned.
Immediately banned.
So it has to do with the usernames. Like, they're banning people with usernames they don't like.
They banned Devin Nunes's cow account.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately, just because of the name. I mean, this is a platform that what prided itself on, you know, allowing free whatever speech. Kind of speech, free
but
speech.
But I mean, they have a disclaimer, or they it's in their terms of service that if
it's there
that they can. Yeah, it is. They can deactivate you for any reason at all at any time. So,
the fascist is like, oh, your freedom. I meant my freedom.
What it means is Trump can say whatever the fuck he wants. Anybody who supports Trump can pretty much say whatever they want, but nobody else can.
But the launch has just been a shit show, which, I mean, we expected that. And right now it's only available on iPhone, right? It's not available to Android users yet, I don't think.
I don't know.
That's what another friend of mine said. I mean, not that I care. I'm really I'm only joining just because I got to see what kind of shit show is going to be on there. I'm too curious.
It's
going
to be horrible.
I'm just too curious to not.
So bad.
I know you'll be more active on it than I would be because
I'll find the fucking locals and start watching them.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, good news or happy fun. Make fun of stuff news is over because
that was quick.
We have a lot of shit to talk about this week. I'm gonna tie in Trump with this because we were hoping that the wheels of justice would finally turn towards Trump regarding the investigation in New York that took a drastic fucking downturn when two of the top prosecutors investigating the Trump organization resigned. And it's really fucking weird, the whole thing. I read the story and I'm thinking, this sounds like, and I'm just, you know, hypothesizing here, this really sounds like someone got fucking paid off.
Probably.
The DA itself is not, like, has said, you know, he's not wanting to pursue this. That he's not thinking it's that strong of a case. I'm like, they have all this evidence. I'm wondering what the fuck happened. You know, this isn't beneath Trump to...
It's either that or threatened.
Yeah, I mean...
You know.
I don't know. It's really frustrating because... You know, I was going through Twitter last night, and when I saw this drop, I was like, well, let's see what opening arguments has to say, because he's a great attorney, and, you know, he makes pretty good predictions on things, and this is just terrible, terrible news regarding that vacant investigation. Is that the only one that's going to come out a winner on this one is Trump. So, again...
There's still another investigation going that doesn't
Still several, but, I mean, how many can he get to, or how many... I mean, I don't want to speculate as to what happened, but it seems very,
I mean,
very
it seems
odd to me.
If so many, like, if it keeps happening, somebody's going to be like, what the fuck is going on here?
I mean, but he's still Teflon Don to these people, so
yeah.
I don't know.
That's why we got to eat the rich, because the rich have money to get out of the actual system that they built to be able to buy themselves out of.
Yeah, I mean, because let's say you're a prosecutor, you know, you're making, you know, even if you're making decent, someone comes up to you with an offer of $5-10 million to, like, hey, do something else. You know what? You know, it's a pretty powerful fucking motivator when you have someone that has that kind of funds and resources. You know, that's a life changing amount to some people. And that's
They got to keep us poor so that even looks good. So
why now?
I don't know.
Probably been working on it for a while
because he lost the appeal when the judge ruled to allow that. Then suddenly weeks after. Now they resign.
But I mean, he could have done this any time when it first started
But it may have been cheaper to have his attorneys get the case dismissed if it was politically motivated. If his attorneys can get it dismissed, then
you'd
he wouldn't
think
have
his
to do this.
Lawyers would have told them there's not a very good chance of this happening. You know, they know that a lot of this shit isn't going to stick.
Trump doesn't have the best lawyers, and he doesn't really pick the best attorneys, though. And the history of him choosing attorneys has not been a very good track record. I mean, yeah, Sidney Powell, fucking Rudy Giuliani. So I'm speculating. I'm not going to try to, like, get sued or anything, but.
Yeah, you know. But you can't buy us off. We'll keep talking until you start throwing millions of dollars our way, right? Right?
They could cancel us on YouTube.
Join our
though.
Patreon, Trump, and we will quit talking about you.
They can get us canceled on YouTube, though, man. That was swift.
Yeah. I was hoping we could talk about all the horrible things Christians are doing this week, but there's so much other news. But we got to talk about that. Texas and Florida, the bullshit.
Yeah. So we previously talked about Florida, but it was just a bill that was just, you know, currently in process, but the Don't Say Gay bill, or what else are you talking about? Because the Don't Say Gay bill did finally pass.
child services can take your child away if you're helping them transition in Texas.
Oh, yeah. He wants all mandated reporters to immediately start reporting trans kids to CPS. Austin Independent School District pretty much said, fuck off. We're here to protect our kids, all of the kids, even the trans kids. So, yeah, know, I mean, there's, and I'm sure there'll be other school districts that are like, yeah, we can't do this.
I can't believe we live in a world like now. I thought we'd been progressing as a society, that we live in a world where certain states and their governors have the ability to criminalize making your child feel fucking comfortable with themselves.
It's, well, I don't think it's gonna, like, has it been taken to court yet?
Probably, well, they already own the Supreme Court, so it's heading there. The Supreme Court is going to look at it, and I do not look forward to that. I know the current Supreme Court is a pro-fascist, Christian fascism court. That's very clear.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So Christians, they think it's hate speech to call a Christian a piece of shit that would deserve being pushed in the mud. But I just want to make my point here. The foundation of Christianity is hate speech. They literally hate every single person that is not like them. Like, they tell me that, so it's a hate speech when I say I want to push a Christian in the mud, but when a Christian tells me that I deserve to be punished and tortured forever.
For eternity, yeah.
Well, yeah, oh, okay, that's not hate speech.
Right, yeah. Right. They could tell us we're going to hell, I'm going to be punished forever.
I think it's also, I mean, we talked about it before, but not only, when you tell it to a fucking child, when they threaten you, mm-hmm. that is cruelty. That's fucking child
abuse. Let's start turning them into CPS. Let's flip the tables. Be like, they were emotionally torturing a child with the idea of hell. I think they need to be removed from their torturous parents.
I mean, you're not wrong, but I want to circle back to Texas, because even if it hasn't been challenged in court yet, if they're winning the war on misinformation and scaring fucking parents into not providing those because they think that that might be a possibility, then they're gonna have a positive effect on reducing these children getting gender affirmation.
They're
care.
Gonna pull their kids from school. They're gonna homeschool them. They're gonna move. There's a lot.
I still,
of families
it's gonna have an effect. Still, I,
there's,
I think
there's
it's gonna,
gonna
have an
be
effect.
Some, but I think a lot of parents, because I don't think it's gonna last too long, and I think, within the year, I bet it's some court is going to be like, nah, stop this shit. So that's, like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's shitty, but I don't think it's, a court is going to hold it up, at least lower courts.
I don't know anymore. I don't trust any of our, you know, some of these federal courts and districts. I just don't trust them. Trump filled in so many of these blatantly unqualified by the Bar Association judges that are right-wing Christo-fascists that I think may potentially hold this up. We know in the Supreme Court, I've lost all faith in. You know, we literally just
that
said
was it. My other pin, contempt for court. We cannot trust the Supreme Court anymore. We cannot trust this. Like, that's the point here.
No, they're already looking at the, like, a business being able to
yeah,
deny.
They picked up a case that the lower court had already, like, ruled against. I think it was a graphic designer that refused to provide a service for a gay couple citing religious beliefs, and the Supreme Court picked it up. And that means that with the Supreme Court picking it up, that means they're poised to make a national ruling.
I have a varying opinion on this than a lot of people, because as an artist, I don't want to be forced to create religious propaganda. My art is something personal. I don't want somebody telling me what art I have to make and what art. Like, I, if it's a graphic designer who, you know, sells his art to other people, or, you know, I don't know the full situation on this, but no matter what, like, the issue with the cake a few years back, the issue was the customers weren't looking for a specific cake. They weren't looking for a custom cake. They wanted a cake that was already made and being sold there.
Right.
It was prepared. They wanted it off the shelf.
That was my point.
That kind of denial of service is not acceptable. But when it comes, like, if that shop, if it was a custom cake for a gay couple, and I think the shop should have had the right to deny it, because they baking cakes, decorating cakes is an art form. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. It's art. You know, and I do not think we should be trying to make artists do anything that they don't want to do. Their art is personal to them.
I think that the difference, at least in my mind, is that if you're providing a service and it's not like, it's like you have something that you have made and a Christian wants to buy it from you.
That's completely different. If I already made it and a Christian bought it, I think I've said this before because I remember saying, if any Christians want to buy a penis pal, I'll sell you the penis pals. I've already made them, like, fine. But if you want religious artwork of Jesus on a cross in a non-offensive way, no, I'm not going to fucking do it. Fuck you.
Right. Like, but I think what the issue here is that the Supreme Court won't make that distinction. That's my fear. My fear is the Supreme Court won't make the distinction and that they will simply be allowed to deny a service.
I don't think, because there's already things on for protected class, and it's whether LGBT is a protected class. But there are already things saying you cannot discriminate based on, like, on somebody's protected class. That would, if they did that to say, no, this, you can't sell something already created that's in the store that's open to everybody. You can deny certain people that business. That would open it up to black people being denied business. Right, and other religious, you know, and I don't think it's going to get that far.
But would you, let's say you're an artist, and as an artist, someone approaches you, they're a Christian, and they want you to make something that is benign. It's nothing to do with it. So in this instance, let's say it's a graphic design. They want to make an image for a wedding, and it probably has the two individuals on there. Would that, as an artist, would that violate your, like, they're just...
That wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
But that's if they wanted it with Jesus in the background and all this other religious aspects, if it was just them, no. But at the same time, as an artist, I have the right to make that decision on what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of what they actually requested from them. I just know that they were denied.
I think, period, if it was something custom, not something like a graphic novel that he had already written, already had printed up, and he just said, no, you can't have this because you're gay, that is wrong. If they were wanting him to make a custom graphic novel for him, and he said no, I think he has that fucking right.
I think it was just like a poster or something.
Yeah, I think they have that right. It's an artist should have the right to deny anybody custom work that, like, for any reason. I look at it as, okay, say someone bases their art solely on mocking Christianity or religion in general, and you get this campaign. Or say they come out and say you have to sell, do the custom pieces for whoever wants it. That's going to start campaigns of Christian peoples to go to that artist and commission them to do all this religious art that is outside of their style,
that
outside
just
of their
like
thing.
The Renaissance.
And that's not I don't agree that should happen. I think an artist has the right. I have no problem with there being Christian artists who only sell their artwork to Christians. I like, as a most of my artwork goes to people who have the same views as me, and I want to keep it that way.
I think it's problematic. I think it opens the door to problematic issues.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way they're going to look at it. I think that there's a fine line that's usually, they're trying to get their foot in their door so they can deny other things.
Once again, that protected class. They'd have to undo the protected classes.
That really depends on what states have such protective laws.
I think there's federal laws that protect. It's not a state thing. There are federal laws. There are federally protected classes. It's going to be harder for them to undo those protected classes. And as long as we have those protected classes, it's going to protect people, like situations where black people can go into any store and buy anything.
Like, if Christianity isn't hate speech, then if Christians and religion in general didn't exist, would gay people, trans people, like, who are their enemies then? Like, everyone that tries to go attack gay people, trans people, anybody that's different, the basis of it is always their religion. And
oh, yeah,
that's
always has
why
been.
They hate them. So it's the religion here is the problem. The Christian fascism. Like, I am way over being nice to Christians. I understand that even the mildest Christian still has, like, very problematic views, especially if you start asking them what their actual views on things are. Like, you know. So I'm easy with telling them that they're all pieces of shit. Like, they are. Like, they hate other people for no fucking reason. And even if they don't themselves, they're supporting organizations that do, which makes them as much a bastard as any cop.
So as of right now, the federally protected classes are race, color, religion or creed, national origin or ancestry, sex including gender, pregnancy, sexual orientation or gender identity, age, physical or mental disability, veteran status, genetic information, or citizenship. That's, so they would have to go all the way back and undo those protected classes, which I don't know if they can do. As long as we have those federally protected classes, they can't say a store can ban gay people from buying stuff from them. Now, once again, an artist, anybody who does custom works, it's a completely different situation, and they should be able to deny for whatever reason. You're asking people. Artists take something, like artists put themselves into artwork. And they should have every bit of say over what they put themselves into.
I just think it's shitty, though, that, I mean, for this instance, I was just informed that it was a website. So, I mean, yeah, it's custom. And yeah, there's a lot of people that do websites. I just think it's shitty that while they, you know, should be allowed to control their art and what they do, it is that Christian fascism that allows them to reject.
Yeah,
that's just the idea, because
That's the real joke of that list that Al read off, is that religion is in there. But a religion, a basis of people, most religions have racism, sexism embedded in their religion. Their religion is sexist. To be part of their religion, you have to be sexist. You have to be racist, or at least homophobic. That is built into the religion, so they act like they're a protected class, and their hate is part of their being a protected class. Oh, I'm sorry, it's my religion to hate other people. This is very deep to me, that I must hate other
people.
And
that's my problem
And I have to make laws for it, because my religion also tells me I need to rule the world. So if I'm not ruling the world hating other people, I'm doing wrong for my religion. Fuck them.
That still has nothing to do with artists being forced to make art.
Well, the artist can tell them to fuck off. Like, that's not my point. My point is that's a slippery slope argument that they want that argument because they are trying to get their foot in the door. Like, this isn't about making an artist do things. This is about getting their foot in the door.
It absolutely is about
them getting the foot in the door so they can deny them other things. Like, being able to sit at a fucking diner, because I'm not going to make a gay person a sandwich. It's about not giving them medical care. The artist thing, they want to win that argument so they can slip their foot in the door, the tip of the spear.
I don't think it will. I think
that's what it's about. That's what they want. That's their goal. I mean, sure, we can argue about that argument all the time, but that's not my point. Like, I don't really care about the basis of that. No, artists shouldn't do shit. But you also have to understand that their argument, they're going to use that to slip this in so they can keep expanding. And this has been their tactic.
The gay couple winning this is going to have more detriment than them losing it. Because it's going to get Christians to force other people to do their stuff.
I don't think that's their goal, but
you don't think they would exploit that?
No,
you don't think they'd do anything they can to like get artists that are expressing different views than them because that's what's going to happen.
It can be turned around just as easily. Sweet. Now I'm going to, okay, fine. Let it happen. Let that fucking happen. I'm going to go to a Christian artist and make them commission me somebody shitting on Jesus' face. This sounds great. It's as equally left
Except
and right. That's why
not,
it's silly.
We're not organized
I will.
To do this,
I will shit
and
on,
they are.
I, as soon as that happens, I'm going to commission a Christian artist to shit on Jesus' face. I'm going to... Like I said, that argument can go both ways. Their whole plan is to put the foot in the door.
Artists need to be allowed to make the art that they want to make.
Sure,
period.
But that's not their
goal.
Because
they're not the ones suing to do this. It is the gay couple that is suing because this artist wouldn't do this job for them. And that should not be happening. Like, because it'll cause more problems in the long run.
Do you think, though, that I think the argument that I'm kind of latching onto is that it's a stepping stone, potentially, in so much that I know there have been several, I think, stories, I don't know where doctors had refused to treat.
Doctors are a different thing. We're talking specifically about arts.
I'm saying it's a stone, though.
That's what I was saying. It's a stone. It's the tip of the spear. It's the foot in the door. That's what they're
doctors
that's their
take
goal.
An oath to protect or to it's improve lives. That's what a doctor there. They're not. That's a, it's a completely different argument. Those are two completely different things.
I don't think it's a stepping stone.
They have had people
figure out what the Christian attack plan is. And a lot of stuff like this is part of their plan. They have tiered plans. They want to win small things like that so they can progress further. You know, they want to get
up here. But once again, I bring up that Christians did not bring this fight.
Sure.
So they're not hoping for anything here. The fucking cities or states are already trying to allow doctors to do that. So they're not like they're two separate fucking things.
I would love to commission a Christian artist to do Donald Trump shitting on Jesus's face.
and him
with a little bubble outside that says yummy. So as soon as this hypothetical things happens, I'm doing that because I don't think that's going to happen.
It could go both ways. Then again, this also may just be a narrow ruling similar to the Colorado cake case where it's – but that one was just because I think the district was too mean to the Christian bakery company versus the actual ruling on the merits. But this, they seem poised to rule on the merits. And I get your point, Al, but I also think that – I know we've heard of doctors that don't want to do like gender-affirming –
It's two different subjects. We're comparing apples to oranges when we do that.
But they don't need this to do that, is what I'm saying.
They were already doing that before this fucking trial came up.
And it makes it easier for them to do A after they've done B.
It's not going to.
Like, this is literally part of their attack plan.
If they're
going to
do it, they're
going to
fucking do it. I do not fucking agree with artists being made to make art that is against their beliefs.
No, I understand that. No, I get that.
And it's just not going to happen because that would be silly. Like I said, that's not going to happen because it would be silly on both fronts. Because if that actually happens, then I'm going to get my Trump shitting on Jesus' face picture. So, like, that's why it's not going to happen. Like, it's silly. Like, this,
I think
this,
of all
like,
the lawsuits and stuff that the LGBTQ plus community can come up with, this is not a good fight. It's not. And I completely disagree with them. The Colorado cake, I agree in that situation with that couple because they were just going in there to buy a cake that was already prepared. They didn't want to customize it. There's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't have been able to do that.
I just simply have a problem. The hurdle I have is I have a problem with a person using their, quote, religious beliefs to deny service to a protected class. Maybe it's custom. Maybe it's like, hey, yeah. but if it's a generic website that they this do is, for anyone else, and they just refuse to do it simply because it's for a gay couple. If it's something they do for literally anyone else, and it's no different from any other design, but because it's, I have a huge problem
if
with that.
It
I
was
really,
a, if it was a standard argument. Design that he just plugs in a few different things, that may be a little bit different.
This is the same argument for saying that a bar shouldn't be able to kick out Nazis because blah, 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 blah. Like, you could say the same thing. Like,
no, I think that's a little different, too.
Well, Nazis aren't
protected. No, I mean, the whole basis of this argument is somebody owns an establishment, somebody has a business, and they get to choose who they service and who
Having
they don't.
Having a business
that's the basis of it.
And creating art are different.
I mean, not in capitalism the same. No, not when they're selling the art. It is a business.
You're purchasing product from someone else and reselling that product. That's not what fucking art is. Art is someone's time, energy. They put themselves into it. You're not putting yourself into that fucking bottle of beer you're selling. You know,
I mean,
I go to Subway and there are sandwich artists there. Do I want those sandwich artists to be able to deny their sandwich to a gay couple? Ow!
A capitalist.
I'm not
is
even
going to
dignify that.
A capitalist
that
is going
to
argue
shit
that
with their
art is capital. So I think that under capitalism, they are going to view that as the same thing. Anyways, I think, I mean, yeah, I can't wait to get my Donald Trump picture when this happens.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Exactly. That's it's why it's happen. Silly. That's why this whole thing's silly.
This is gonna, move that on. Segment is going to be such a bitch to edit because we're all yelling over each other. It's going to be so fun. I can't wait to get to that. So let's move on. Let's fucking move on. We woke up to fucking World War III this morning, you guys. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I had a very busy day, so I didn't get to read a whole lot of things. But then I came home. I kind of forgot it even happened because I had such a hectic day. And I get on TikTok. I'm like, I'm going to watch some funny shit. And I'm literally watching war on TikTok.
Have you been by a gas station, though?
I have not been. What?
By a gas station.
No, are the prices like super rocketed high?
Yeah, I needed gas before I got here. They haven't raised like super high. But the fucking lines for gas.
Oh, yeah.
Just, oh, yeah.
And I was going to get it after I left here. But I mean, I need to go ahead and get that now. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 hours, but...
It's insane. The number of aerial vehicles that are just, you know, just... I mean, they're launching on civilians. I know civilians have been killed. 57 soldiers, Ukrainians, which is kind of low right now, but that number will climb. They took Chernobyl. I know that it was kind of a rapid movement, and... So Russia, you know, their population isn't, they're not all fucking happy with what
people are
doing.
Protests, a lot of brave people out there protesting.
Unfortunately, it's not working out for them. About 1,000 people have been fucking arrested. I've seen and there was another video, another TikTok I saw of like people forcefully being arrested and thrown in vans.
It was 900 at 3 o'clock today. It's over, well over 1,000 now.
Yeah, well, it's insane because this is a country that doesn't really care about its citizens that much. You know,
no.
Would you call it a police state? What would you call?
Oh, it's definitely a totalitarian. Run.
Yeah, it's
a dictatorship.
Yeah.
He's been faking elections for decades.
Oh yeah,
he kills anyone that opposes him. Like it's a he's a tyrant. He's a dictator.
I mean, this is the same country that, you know, they had Russian backed separatists that literally shot down a jet in 2014, killing all 280 people aboard. Like these people don't care about human life. You know, it's fucking Trump, man. Yesterday or the day prior called. This a genius move?
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
I'm really glad he's not in office though, because shit,
he'd probably be sending fucking materials over.
I mean, we were, you know, pretty high allegedly that Trump and many other Republican sitting senators are planted by Russia. Like we know that he would always suck Putin off.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a lot of private
phone
calls to Putin. Like he was a Russian agent.
Russian puppet, at least, but because I don't know what they had on him, but or if he's just buddy-buddy,
I
don't know.
The same's true for Lindsey Graham and many other, I'm sure Mitch McConnell's also working for Russia. We have literal traitors, so hopefully maybe if we do actually go into war with them, we can...
I don't see it. I don't see the U.S. getting involved right now.
We are already... See, that's the funny thing, because we're already in there, man. Like, you don't... Like, just because you don't hear about it on the news, we're already in... We're already at war.
I've been hearing some interesting takes from leftists.
We've been at war with Russia in ways for a long time now, and open war is very different than what's been going on, but they are not on our friend list.
We've also been funding shit in Ukraine. Like, Nazi training camps and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that's the other
thing.
Which
is one thing.
To.
Like, a lot of. I'm hearing Nazis. Or, I'm sorry. I'm hearing leftists say that they kind of support what's happening.
This is what I want to get to.
Because Ukraine has a lot of Nazis.
Okay,
and, like, first, I want to say I'm going to send Dustin the link to this. There's actually two statements that's been put out by anarchists on the ground in both Ukraine and Russia, who both sides, they're like, we don't agree with this. Yes, Ukraine has Nazis. Yes, they probably have some power with the government, but we have Nazis.
Yeah, we have Nazis.
We have Nazis that have power in the government. Do we want Russia coming over here to help us solve our fucking problem? Like, would any
Russia's
of us be
here,
happy?
Russia's over here.
No, I'm talking about with fucking tanks airstrikes. Is that how we want to solve our fucking Nazi problem?
You know who the other half of Ukraine is that's not Nazis?
Anarchists
Jewish people who literally are living in the same areas. They have a bigger connection to the Holocaust. They still live over there.
His family died during the Holocaust.
They have a bigger connection to the Holocaust than we do. And, yeah, so that's the other thing that's been pissing me off is leftist tankies siding with Russia.
They are. So what Putin is doing is people on the right, he's blaming it on LGBT community and the government's run by the gay community. People on the left, he's saying, well, they're taken over by Nazis. And that's how he's managed to get support from people on the left and right from this. It's a matter. I mean, he's fucking great at disinformation. Russia's on the ball with that. They got that down. And they're feeding the leftists that he's invading because of Nazis, and he's invading alt-right, or he's convincing the alt-right that it's because of gays.
You know what? It's something that crossed my mind because I'm watching the live feed, and how kind of terrifying it is because I'm not there. You know, I wouldn't know but we had the sense of kind of doom coming this week, and we're safe in the U.S. right now. Well, I'm a right air quote safe. But to wake up to fucking airstrikes in your city and just seeing all this aircraft, I mean, just think about fucking how terrifying that is. You know, I'm trying to get behind the basis of what this whole thing is about. I know he's trying to get certain sections of Ukraine as independent, the ones that were kind of always at war, the rest of Ukraine. But it's just, you know, this is going to escalate.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's actually paid attention to Russia, like, knows they're one of the biggest threats to international peace.
They have been for a while. They've been for forever. And Putin really warned.
It's not only Ukraine. That's just the first step. There is tons of other territory that he is trying to get. Like, she hasn't come around in a long time, but we had somebody come to ask that was an immigrant from Azerbaijan that escaped the country because Putin was after their family. This is like steps. Ukraine's first, and then they want to take the other states. Mm-hmm. And they already are on the ground trying to put puppet leaders in. Like, all that stuff between the Jews and the Nazis in Ukraine, like, think about the disinformation campaigns that they've had against the U.S. I'm sure that they have disinformation campaigns in the countries that they're actually trying to take over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, one thing that I said earlier today is, like, Putin's about 70. He's 69. Nice. dictators are a lot worse the older they get because they get more senile. And also, they're already narcissists, so they don't care about their country and their civilians. So they get more and more dangerous the older they get because they start thinking about their legacy. How much can I take over before I die? Because they already don't care about their people. They don't care about the actual future of their country. They care about, like, looking like a strong leader, which is obviously what Putin does. He is going to get worse and worse the older he gets.
The worst part about this whole situation is that there's not really a whole lot any of the other large countries can do because of the military might that Russia fucking has. Mm. The problem with engaging with Russia is they have one of the largest militaries, obviously, you know, not the size of the U.S., but they will retaliate fucking, you know, harshly, and because they don't care about humanity, you know, they might unleash nuclear weapons, you know, they won't care to.
They're not as scary as China when it comes to their military, but
they're obviously not afraid to use theirs and willing to do so. That's why the U.S. really can't get involved action right now, because
it's not only that direct military thing. Like you said, they already have disinformation campaigns. They have a lot of
cyber warfare is huge. Mm-hmm.
And part of cyber warfare, so like you were saying, can't imagine being bombed over here. But what Russia wouldn't bomb us, what they would do would shut down our power grids. That's what they would do. They would shut down our power grids, shut off our communication networks, not even just to just to sow discord and fuck with us. Like, that's part of their warfare over here. They wouldn't send a direct attack, but they would, like, shut off your Comcast so that I can pretend this war doesn't exist by playing Elden Ring all weekend.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a terrifying situation because, like I said, he's already issued threats to any countries, the U.S., the U.N., you know, is like, don't fuck with us, you know, because you will be met with harsh consequences for doing so. Putin is not a fucking afraid to go to war because he's not afraid. He doesn't give a shit about the stock market over there or
yeah,
he doesn't care about people.
And he's been planning this because, like I said, he's been planning this for a long time. This is his move. They don't care about the stock market. They don't care. The ruble's been annihilated because everyone's given sanctions, but they don't care because Russia is, first off, not communist. They are ruled by an oligarchy. They are ruled by fucking rich men, rich people. And all those oligarchs, they don't have their money in the actual Russian economy. It's all overseas shit, hidden away. Like, so the rich oligarchy and Putin himself and whoever, what he is funding the military with, is not connected to their ruble or anything. The only people that's going to hurt is the Russian people, which, yeah, they need to fight their government themselves.
I mean, imagine that you're getting a statement, like you're in Ukraine, and Ukraine's like, yo, pick up your weapons and defend yourselves. They're literally telling that to civilians even over there. They're saying, doing everything to keep your country and take your country back.
Russia doesn't care about their own citizens. I mean, what do they think about other people's citizens?
They're a war in your country. What the fuck else are you going
to
do?
No, but I mean, that's something that I couldn't imagine waking up to here in the U.S. You know, I couldn't imagine. That's, you know, we live in this kind of privileged area of having the largest military in the world, and so, you know, having aggression over here isn't really a reality.
Do we need to watch Red Dawn again?
I don't know if I've ever seen Red Dawn.
Okay.
I don't think I have.
That's
either.
The premise.
Oh, okay.
That Russian sends troops to America, and average citizens have to pick up their guns. That's the premise.
I mean, we fucking would, I know, but all the rednecks would just be happy.
They made a remake of that movie, and they wanted to change Russia to China, but then they sucked China's dick and took that out of
the movie. The rednecks are loving Russia
they
right
are,
now.
Because of the money that Russia's been putting into the Republicans. Like, you have to understand, that's what the war is going to get to. Like, we are going to have to fight these rednecks eventually. Like, world's not going to be looking cool in 10 years, buddies.
Well, and
climate change is happening too. All of this stuff's happening at once. Welcome to the fucking apocalypse. You think COVID was the first plague that's going to hit? Like, shit's going to get real.
Yeah, so I know that aside from the humanitarian aspect, this could not come at a worse time for American politics either, you know, because the right is going to, and even the moderates and independents are going to blame Biden for not doing enough to prevent Putin from doing this, and I think it's going to have disastrous effects on the midterms.
Hey, what the fuck is Biden going to do?
That they don't get no. It's the misinformation. Remember, they're experts at misinformation.
Yeah, they want Biden. Well, I've heard such opposite of. I've heard opposite things from the right. I've heard them be like, Biden needs to be strong. He needs to declare war now. And then the other ones are sucking off Putin.
Yeah, I think
that's what it is with the left as well. Like,
I guess that is true.
Everybody's fucking, because I don't, there is so much disinformation because I think a lot of people, and I've been doing a lot of fucking reading today because I just, it's something that I'm kind of ignorant about. I am not, like, I pay a lot of attention to our politics here.
Right, yeah.
But I'm not as good at paying attention to, like, international politics. And so I had to do a lot of fucking reading and understanding, and I chose to look at the perspective of anarchists on the ground there because I know those are the people that most, like, their view of things there is probably what I would be thinking if I were there, just because fucking anarchists, we have similar views. So, I had to do a lot of reading, but if you're going to the mainstream media and you're, you know, going with what CNN says, or like whoever your main source of media is, that's what you're going to believe. And when there's all this disinformation, like people on the right and left are like, nobody knows what the fuck is going on.
It's confusing. You know, there's there's a lot of stuff out there. I don't know 100% of the politics and honestly what led to this whole aggression in the first place. I really don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the whole story. There's a lot to go on there, and they're not even reported because the media, they love to push a narrative. And now you're going to talk about that later in a bigger story that you want to talk about. But they want to push a narrative that gets clicks. And so they're going to just talk about the aggression and not so much the long story of detailing what led to this, what's, you know, what is actually going on right now. All the headlines I've seen this week has all just been about Russian aggression, you know, this pending invasion. And I'm like, why though? You know, it's just a lot of things that I haven't come across.
It seems that it's mostly just because Putin's a giant fucking dick and he wants to do this. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to, is he just wants to fucking do this.
And he's made it very fucking clear, and even increasingly more so, that, and especially when the videos I saw with, you know, the police just quelling any type of protest. I mean, just grabbing old women, screaming, dragging them to they don't care about their citizens. And if they don't care about their citizens, they sure as fuck don't care about anyone else they're invading. I mean, they're bombing like key cities, not just military things. I mean, they actually took control of Chernobyl, which is a dangerous fucking thing to do because that place is still loaded with fucking radiation.
Right, right.
And a single explosive goes off there, and then radiation dust goes up and covers Belarus. Right. And it's just, you know, they don't give a fuck about people. He's made it blatantly clear.
That's what I said. And I've gotten into arguments with leftists today, and my thing is, you know, the selling point is he's going in there. The selling point to leftists is he's going in there to get the Nazis.
He's not going to stop.
My thing is,
he's not going to fucking stop.
Most of the people living there are not Nazis. Most of the people that are going to be killed, injured, or have their lives devastated over this are not going to be Nazis. They're going to be people like us. And I feel like we need to support the people on the ground in Ukraine in any way that we can. And I think that's going to be coming in the future.
I think the big thing for leftists is to realize, first off, that they are fascist douchebags. They should push themselves in the mud. Second off, he's not going to stop at Ukraine. Ukraine is huge.
I think this is a test. I think this is a test of how much he can fucking get away with because of the threat of, I mean, mutually assured destruction is a serious threat that will prevent any country like the U.S. or anyone in the U.N. from taking extreme action against Russia, because we can literally wipe out the entire population of the earth with the arsenal that we have of nuclear weapons. So I think this is a testing of the waters to see what he can do after this.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario right now is he gets a little bit of what he wants, and then he backs off for a bit, and then he's just going to try to do it again later. That's best case scenario right now, is that he's going to be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, and then he'll try again later. That's best case scenario.
This was a carefully, I mean, say what you will about him being a dick, but this was a carefully and strategically planned thing for years. They've been funding these Russian-backed extremists in the eastern province of...
He can be a dick and plan this for years.
Yeah. I didn't say that, but he's also a strategist, or he has good good advisors. And so he's been funneling money, weapons, and things to these separatists that were fighting Ukraine and, you know, had thousands of deaths over the years. But he's been pouring that, and those are the two areas of Ukraine that he called independent and sent troops in as peacekeeping before launching the invasion into Kiev and some of the other places. So this is just the beginning of something much larger, and I'd hate to see where it goes. And it's going to have devastating impacts on the global market with some of the pipelines that are shut down. They produce a lot of the natural gas to some of the area countries, and that's going to be devastating to them.
I mean, this is right on schedule with what I was saying about the world not looking the same in by 2030. Like, we're not, our civilization as we know of it is not going to exist. And
probably not. I mean, with the rise of all these, extreme weather effects,
it's all connected.
I was going to finish that sentence with fascism. But
I already, it's fascism. It's
we're fighting so disease, many things.
It's religious, like,
the disease is like the whole,
honestly,
at this point, it's not the greatest concern.
You know what? Actually, I saw today the cases are down 65%, because almost everyone has either had Omicron or is, vaccinated. So, but now we have much bigger fucking problems because it's just the world can't stop being a piece of shit.
Hey, vaccinated people are still fucking dying in droves, so that's good.
But numbers are still going way down, which is why mask mandates are being lifted pretty much across the fucking country. I know there are several schools and things have done that. But yeah, we're in a world where we're just, we're fighting.
To see the bust of the current, empire of society. That's what we get to see. We get to see the bust in human population.
I almost fear that fascism may win this battle.
Fascism will win because it's embedded in humanity. There is no fucking hope. The hope is that once the dregs of whoever survives can pull themselves up, and hopefully they make a nice little communist society on top of the ashes of the previous world. That's my best case scenario. I don't know about you guys.
Hippie communes? But
yeah, hey, hippie, like imagine Fallout hippie communes. That's my best case scenario right now. That's my bright future that I have envisioned.
That makes me think of this meme I posted the other day. It's dance like no one's watching, love like you've never been hurt, make friends like there will be a supply chain or social infrastructure collapse and you will have to rely on each other for basic survival.
We're heading that way. With everything that's going on, with fascism winning, Will Christian fascism win here in the U.S.? Like, I don't know.
Fascism's just too, like I was saying last week, fascism is just too baked into the human genes.
Yeah, and there's enough people in power in the U.S. to, keep pushing and allowing further rights. The thing we talked about in Texas, they're trying so many different things to get away with. And, with the, we're months away from the Mississippi abortion ban from being decided, which is going to have huge implications because I really do see the Supreme Court, siding with Mississippi in this case. And that's going to have rippling effects for women and their ability to, it reduced abortions in Texas by 60%.
Jesus fuck.
That's how much of an effect that this had.
But did those people, I know some of them just couldn't get abortions, but is it possible some of them went out of state anyway?
No, I think the stat was the 40%, of the remaining, some went out of state. I think they really did have the effect that Texas fucking wanted, which is the forced birth extremism.
But how are they reporting that? Because if people are worried that they be sued, are they going to tell anybody? How do they figure that percentage out?
I don't know. Did we ever determine that it was applicable if they went out of state? I don't know if they had that kind of jurisdiction to do that.
Oh, but they said they were.
That could have been part of the misinformation campaign, though. So,
but no, I think that was the way it was worded. Is even if you go out of state, you can still be sued.
I'm not going to pretend to know how that stat came to be, but that's the stat that I came across. But they're winning these certain battles, and the fascist talking points in a lot of the southern states, they're becoming increasingly brazen with what they're trying to do.
It's not just the southern states, though. It's not.
I pinpointed that because
it's more so the southern states. But it's a higher percentage in the southern states.
I think they're trying it here, and they're going to the other states. Because it's not just southern states that are doing it. After something flies down here, they're doing it up there. Or once we get a few bills passed up there, they're starting to be passed up north.
I think it's the
same problem. Of course, New York's a little bit different, but fucking Michigan, Idaho, Wisconsin, all of those states have just as many issues with Christian fascism as we have here. They're just, waiting. It's weird, though, because they probably actually have less kickback from people in their states if they tried it there than if they tried it down here.
I think the South is just the beta testers of Christo-fascism.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is they probably should have started up there, because where a lot of people look at the South is where the problems really are. When it comes to fascism, no, it's more like fucking the fucking North, mid-North area there. They're worse than us as far as like fascism. I think, was it? Which state it was, not Wisconsin, but it's one of those states near there that has the highest number of hate groups per capita. Not the South. It's those, like, they have, because there's
are those states pushing the same kind of laws, though?
That's what I'm saying, is that they should have done the starting ground there. Okay. They'd have less resistance there than they do down here. Because we've had the liberals and leftists in the South have been watching this shit happen. Like, we've always been told, like, racism's going to be worse here. We've kind of been watching it in our own backyard. You know, when Nazis had rallies here in Tennessee, I remember one year they went to, I think it was Shelbyville, and they planned to go to Murfreesboro afterwards. So many, there were like hundreds of people, and they had a couple dozen in Shelbyville. When they went to Murfreesboro, they sent a couple people out there first. I ended up leaving Shelbyville early and going to Murfreesboro. The fucking protests lined the whole entire street, the main road, both sides. We couldn't even get into a protest that we helped organize because there were thousands of people there.
But to be
they
fair, had a couple Murfreesboro's proximity to Nashville had a huge part in that, because, you know, the larger the city, the more liberal that the area tends to be.
These were a lot of students, too.
Murfreesboro, yeah.
Right, but up north has the same fucking shit. But nobody's watching the backyards there. They're letting it happen. We're down here, we're watching our backyard. We're watching it because we know that we do have the racist here. So we are getting out, you know, last year in Tennessee wasn't as good. But in the past, like, people have shown up for stuff here where they aren't as much in other states. And that's why I say, like, they should, because leftists in the South are more alert. And this excludes Portland.
I think though, is because we have, I think why we focus on the South is because we have governors like DeSantis and Abbott who tried to out piece of shit each other. And then Bill Lee is closely behind them sometimes, where they echo some of the bills that, you know, Florida does and Texas does.
All three of them are, but I mean, that's still not the entire South. And that's not saying that other, like I said, it's a testing ground, but what I'm saying is if they tested it out there, it probably would be more effective than down here.
Yeah, I was just mentioning that because it always seems to be, aside from the Mississippi case, it's always lately, as of late, within the last, since we've been doing this podcast, the names DeSantis and Abbott and Bill Lee have come out of our mouths more than
any
other. I'm
not saying that's not true. What I'm saying, though, is they'd have more or less resistance up there than they do down here. We're watching for it here.
Right.
We know it's going to be here. There, they're just accepting that everything's white and peaceful and Christian.
But they also don't have piece of shit governors that would sign those bills into law, I think, is my distinction.
Like, oh, I think they would. No, I think we're wrong. You're wrong there. I think they absolutely will. I think that it'll happen there, too. They're just as fucking red as us. That's what, I mean, yeah, have you seen the fucking election map? That entire middle area is pretty much red.
I tend to ignore the middle area because the population is so fucking low there.
But that's the thing, though. Like, that's why they think that, like, they're just okay with it being white and Christian, because that's all it is.
Like Utah, for instance, would do things like that, I think.
They will. The only reason they're not, probably, is because they don't think it's as much of a problem there. Because it's so white and so Christian.
Yeah.
You know.
That would make sense. I just keep getting frustrated with the shit that those three that just we can't stop fucking talking about because they can't stop being utter pieces of shit.
They're doing it in our states because we're fighting back against them. That's why. You know, fucking Texas, Austin, Houston, both of them are resisting a lot of what the governor's doing. So that's why he's doing more. Florida, there's resistance. Tennessee, there's resistance to this stuff. There needs to be more. But still, like, there's something Gloria Johnson posted. It was some bill. I can't remember which one. But it got taken down because she mentioned to her followers, hey, write in. Let them know why this is not okay. And it got, well, it went to it back for more editing. But it's they do get resistance here. There is, because of our cities being liberal, there are, well, four, including Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro's a pretty liberal city, too. County. It's the same issue as Nashville.
I would do it by county, yeah.
But as far as cities, we have these five cities that are pretty...
Knoxville is still technically red by
Knoxville
percent.
Is blue. The county is red.
The county's red, yeah.
It's the same thing as Murfreesboro.
It's blue as in liberal fucking idiots. Like, it's not like leftist blue.
No, it's not leftist blue.
It's like...
Well, we call the podcast On the Fringe because we are... Hard leftism is a fringe group.
Maybe I just showed it to you in person. Actually, that MSNBC thing that's like, what's up with the worker shortage? And it was like 60-something percent on MSNBC said that it was because social programs give too much to the poor.
You did send that to me, yes.
That was on MSNBC. And like, that's what I'm trying to say, that...
I still think that a right winger got a hold of that and spread it around.
I think that's the narrative that MSNBC wants to push.
I don't even watch MSNBC, so I wouldn't have got that narrative from them. I got that from watching their goddamn groups and knowing they do that shit. Just like we do it to them.
You guys might have parents that watch Fox News incessantly. I have parents that watch MSNBC incessantly, and it's a different kind of annoying. No, they're not openly fascist, but they are fucking capitalist, and they do blame the poor for fucking everything. MSNBC is one of the enemies. CNN is one of the enemies. They'll help us fight Republicans, but they're not going to help us actually get fucking workers' rights. They're not going to help insurance for us.
They're not going to help with homelessness. They're not going to help with the food insecurity, all the major issues that we have that... fucking lead to gun violence.
They are one of the problems. They are for police. They talk against them a little bit. More, I'm surprised sometimes. But any news organization, period, is going to be capitalist. Because to get that much voice, you have to be capitalist.
Let me ask you this, because I think we know and we've reconciled the fact that we are a vast minority being like hard leftists in this country. We simply are.
Yeah.
We don't have the numbers that we think we do. What is preventing the liberals? What's stopping? Is it capitalism? Is it fascism that's
their
keeping
comfort.
Them from center?
They're comfortable.
I mean, because literally everything that I know from...
in education. Because
I wasn't always leftist. I've had a mixed bag of my life of where Trump drove me further left.
Trump pushed us all left.
Yeah. I've been like pilling you for years is part of the thing. Because I remember it was fucking 4 years ago at least. You two had just gotten together and I posted on Facebook that men are trash. And you both were like, but now I send you stuff and you seem to recognize, no, men are trash. And like your views have shifted.
It really wasn't you. I really think Trump was the ultimate catalyst.
I think Trump was a big part of it for everybody.
Trump was president when this happened. And it's still shifted over the years.
My journey had just begun at that point, but I recognized, you know, what the right and what they really push against. And you know, when the left is literally just about fucking caring for people, that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is when someone asks me, like, what does it mean to be a leftist? That means, like, everyone should have everything they fucking need to survive.
Just basic fucking needs met, man. That's all we fucking want, is people to have their basic needs
met.
So why is this
such a fucking fringe belief? Why are we such the minority? It's
because we have empathy.
I mean, I don't understand why it's not... I mean, because the people that are arguing against that, they don't have everything either. They don't have everything they need. They really don't.
No,
healthcare's been led
to believe that it's other people's fault.
Misinformation campaign?
Yeah.
It's what we talked about last week in our lengthy bonus episode, you know, when we had a lengthy discussion about, you know, who the enemy is, you know, and the church is really fucking good at that. I know we talked about that, and that's why Sam calls it hate speech, because they're really good at making someone else the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rich were also
they blame immigrants for taking jobs. Well, I mean, is it the fault of the immigrants for coming here and seeking a better life? If they can only get jobs under the table and the people paying under the table are paying less than minimum wage, is that the immigrant's fault, or is it the company that is exploiting the cheap labor? And that's what it is. It's the company exploiting. There are enough jobs for everybody to have one, including immigrants. If they paid more and paid everybody a living wage and people didn't need to work three fucking jobs to make, you know, survive, everybody could have a 40-hour-a-week job. Easily.
Nothing pisses me off more than people that are against immigrants, because as an American citizen, I'm going to throw my air quotes up, I did fucking nothing to earn that. I did nothing to... I simply came out of a vagina in this country.
I think I ranted about this last week.
I don't know if you did.
Not being proud of being born here, or a week before.
But as much as I don't think that me simply being born here should grant me more benefits or rights than someone who fucking trudged across countries with nothing on their fucking backs to seek out a life away from danger, guns, gangs, and the people that who are proud Americans think they're beneath them and illegal and should leave our country because they're not American. You know,
I wasn't even born here. I wasn't even fucking born here. But my parents were citizens, so, like, I don't have any fucking choice over this. In fact, honestly, I wish I can go back to where I was born. I'd rather be there than
but
in fucking
it's,
here.
It's such a dumb argument.
But then
argument.
You'd be close to Russia in the war, though, so.
It's such a...
Oh, yeah. That's right. There hasn't been a war on this soil in a long time, until we were fighting racists, which is going to be the second war that happens. And good thing we have guns, because we're actually leftists.
Yeah. But it really pisses me off, because I know that everyone that makes that argument did fucking nothing to earn the rights that they have. And they magically, because they were on the soil or their parents were on the soil or were citizens, that they just magically have these magical rights that makes them have all these benefits that they think that immigrants should not have. And that's a frustrating fucking stance. Go ahead.
All right, our ACAB this week is the entire Portland Police Bureau. All right, so Saturday night, all my friends were all fucked up. I'm home reading the news.
Did you have to call me out like that, though?
I said all of my friends, not just you, but yes. I had sobered up, gone home, and... I'm like laying in bed about to go to sleep when I get a notification about a mass shooting in Portland. Head to Twitter. So what we know in the beginning is there's been a mass shooting. Four people were injured and one is dead.
Yes, that's what I'd heard.
And this is our time. It's like maybe 12:01. Kind of late at night. I stayed up for several hours reading, and there's a few things that I picked up on. One, I did see one single comment on Twitter about somebody was saying that someone on the anti-fascist side had fired back. And then you see people on the left, like, drilling in hard, we do not talk to police without attorneys. And this was going heavy, and I kept looking for other sources saying that somebody on the left shot back. and I wasn't finding it, but that one comment stuck in. And then the next morning I woke up and there, the number had changed. It went from 5 injured, 1 killed in police and all the news articles. Other thing I noticed in these news articles is they were saying that it was a homeowner.
Saw that too.
A homeowner. It was a shootout between an armed homeowner and armed protesters.
So in my mind, when I, because I saw the same thing when I woke up Sunday, because I had finally recovered from being fucked up. So because I didn't get on the news that night like you did. You're weird. And so the narrative I saw that they, that it seemed that they were pushing was that if I had read this headline or saw this briefly, I would think that these protesters were on this homeowner's property.
Yes. And that's exactly how it made it all sound. People on the like left Twitter was going, they were on and on about this homeowner narrative. Finally, one of the victims spoke out. And her story is, or their story, is that they were corkers, which a corker is pretty much a volunteer traffic safety person. They help direct safety traffic away from the protesters. The protesters were all on one side of the park. The corkers were on the other. And just for the record, this was a protest in solidarity with Amir Locke. So it was a BLM protest. So they're on one side of the park. This man comes out of his home and goes directly to them, starts screaming at them about how they're ruining this country. He's calling them terrorists, calling them cunts. Just fucking tearing into them. These women, or these, they're assigned female at birth, all of them, were trying to de-escalate. He leaves. He does go back home, but then he comes right back with a 45 and just starts shooting them. One woman was 60 years old. She stepped in front of one of the victims and then like stepped in front of another victim. She ended up killed. The victim who, God, my heart aches for this person so much. You can tell she's in a more emotional pain than she is in physical pain. She ended up like laying on top of her friend who's, we know now is nicknamed T-Rex. It's June Knightley. She like laid on top of her trying to like help her. And while she was doing that, or just, you know, being there with her, there, from what it sounds like, there's no way they could have saved her. And, like, there, other people are trying to plug her holes while she's trying to take care of her friend.
Others have been shot in the neck, I've heard. Like,
yeah, one person was shot in the neck and is paralyzed. She was shot in the chest. I think she got, June got multiple.
Four, I think. She got hit four times.
Well, the person who was... The victim that spoke out, I think, was shot four different times.
That's what this one's referring to.
June T-Rex, I think, right. Was shot multiple times as well. I do not know the name of... Actually, I know the name. I'm not revealing the name because I'm not trying to help dox victims.
Right, okay.
But she ends up saying that after he started shooting all of them, she started screaming. And another protester who was armed came over. He shot the shooter. So we have this narrative out that it was a homeowner. And it really makes it sound like the protesters went onto his property, were threatening him, were causing, like they initiated it.
That's the media. No. That was blatantly done by the media. Yes. It was that's how it came across to me.
So the next thing is the right wingers went on and found any black person they can that was charged with a gun crime around that time and started posting his mugshot saying that he was the one who did the shooting. It's like, see, they found a black homeowner and started shit with the wrong person. And fucking Andy Ngo ran with this. Andy Ngo was like backing it up, telling people they believed he was a shot. He was going with the homeowners. He was doing everything to paint Antifa as their aggressors. So Andy Ngo, for those of you who don't know, he is a right-wing, alt-right journalist. He has caused many problems. He's the one, when we talk about cement milkshakes, He's the one who said that. He got a milkshake thrown on him, and he swore it had concrete in it.
Yeah, I remember the names. Does now you bring it up? It does sound like he's started some shit before.
He's started a lot of shit. His Twitter has the week leading up to the shooting, he was posting those exact same people on his page, calling them terrorists, inciting violence against them.
He has a long track history of that. Now it's all coming back to me.
He's been years.
Fox News has been jerking him off.
Yes.
Because he likes to paint Antifa as the aggressors in every fucking point he can.
And he's not white.
Right.
They love people who are not white who will speak against Antifa.
That's exactly why they put anyone of color who's a pro-Trump or anything. That's exactly
Candace Owen, you know, yeah. All of these. They're tokens. But he really has incited. So 2 months ago, there was another shooting. Someone else was murdered. But it was those, there was those tattoo artists. That was killed.
Okay, right.
I can't remember where that was, but that shooting, the shooter was an Andy Ngo fan. So Andy Ngo, in the weeks prior, had posted the event, had been inciting violence. Portland Police Bureau is leading this narrative, and Andy knows helping them that it was a homeowner and Antifa did all the trouble. So while this was going on, though, anti-fascist researchers, the victims, and the fucking furry community were all working to ID the shooter. The furry community was involved because the shooter is an alt-right furry. His name is Benjamin Smith. He lives on the corner of the park where the thing happened. Would you believe he is not a homeowner?
Weird.
He rented an apartment there. So this guy, we waited till Monday night, I believe, to get his identity. And it's because they were archiving all the social media. Because if the police get there first, it's gone. So we can't. So they're archiving. They got all his fucking social media, which includes a lot of talk. Oh, that's another thing. Portland Police Bureau also said that there is nothing to indicate that this was politically motivated in any way.
Yeah. Also, he wasn't charged for how long?
Oh, he at this point, when we know the identity, there's nothing saying he's been charged. I'll get to that in a minute. But okay. Yeah. So. He's been kicked out of furry communities for over a decade. Now, the furry community has had issues with Nazis. So has every other fucking community.
And we've talked about this in the past.
Right, right. The furry community
they're actively working to expel them.
Right.
But they're still there. Right.
So there was what was called NaziCon, where all the furries that got booted from the overall furry community gathered in their own thing. They had a chat, and he's talking about wishing Proud Boys would just open fire on leftists.
Jesus Christ.
He's advocated a lot of violence over the years. The furry community has reported him for harassment, threats, everything else, not just to local police, but to the feds. He had been threatening, like, they had reported him to the feds for years, over 10 years. They did it. It's one of those things where police will tell you we can't do anything until they actually do something, because police don't stop violence.
Right.
So, and then, yeah, then we get into, so after his identity is revealed by the furry community and anti-fascist researchers and the victims, the Oregonian comes out with an article saying that, yes, he is the suspect. They went to his home and interviewed his roommate.
Who did not have kind words?
Oh, no. In fact, she pretty much said she wasn't comfortable living with him for years, that he had been growing increasingly angry over the protest. She mentioned the COVID restrictions and fucking immigration.
I know he has
homelessness. It was homelessness he mentioned.
I know he'd also been speaking of aggression and violence towards...
Right, right. He's been talking about wanting to shoot leftists
right.
for a while. She had a GoFundMe page up for like 2 years trying to get the fuck out of his house.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of anti-fascists have been helping her to get the fuck out of there. So, yeah, so at this point, still no word on charges. Nothing from Portland Police Bureau. It was Tuesday afternoon. There was a press conference between involving Ted Wheeler and Portland Police Bureau. And it was a general, it was over the general gun violence. Over the weekend, there were three different major incidences. But they, like, this fucking mass shooting didn't even get its own fucking press conference.
This has not made national radar. Like, it was, I saw the story finally on NBC. Nowhere near the top of this page. This is not, you typically mass shootings tend to be a large thing, but when it's against, I guess, Antifa or protesters, then maybe the media doesn't want to push that narrative.
Well, I mean, I think it's partly because Portland police made it seem like Antifa initiated it. Like, Fox News was telling about it. But yeah, so this news conference, at this point, we know that the person who shot the shooter had been charged.
Before the...
Yes. We did know that he was charged. Well, this is actually common practice. I don't disagree with this part of things because it's kind of what needs to happen. Police show up in a shooting. You have five people injured on the ground and only one has a gun. Common fucking sense. You're going to fucking put that one in handcuffs. And this guy immediately put his gun down. He turned himself in. In the early statements, they didn't even discuss him. They did say two people were in custody. I don't even know who the other person is or if that was something wrong. I don't know. But we know that the shooter had not been charged. During a previous press conference, Portland Police Chief said they won't reveal his name because they do not give out the names of victims.
Victims. Okay.
When asked if they were charged, they're like, well, we're not, you know, we can't give out that information. So we know all these things. We know he's not a homeowner. We know that he was the aggressor. We know so much of the information that Portland Police Bureau gave out in the beginning had been shown to be the victim that came out had a GoPro.
Yeah.
And she had turned that over to the cops. So they knew what happened if they fucking watched the video. We all know when she posted about what happened, she mentioned the GoPro. So we all know that they have the GoPro. So they have this press conference and they kind of briefly talk about the mass shooting. Well, then they open it up for questions. All the questions at the end are stuff like, why did you say he was a homeowner? The reason why they said that he was a homeowner and that it was a shootout between anti-fascists and the armed homeowner is because they didn't want false information getting out. That's basically, you're making our proof point for us. We don't talk early on in the investigation because we don't want false information going out.
Now, I want to talk about something that I had read, and if I'm getting ahead of you again, let me know, but we're kind of at the point where he's being charged. But prior to that, didn't they literally have the shooter and T-Rex in the hospital together?
Not T-Rex.
Oh.
T-Rex went to another... Well, T-Rex didn't go to the hospital. T-Rex was dead on arrival.
Oh, sorry. Not the one with the GoPro. Sorry, the one
with the GoPro. Yeah, the one with the GoPro and another victim, they took them to the same hospital as the shooter. They found out because they saw the shooter in the hallway where they were, you know. And that's been quite traumatic for...
I imagine it would be. And because he wasn't charged, that means he wasn't secured?
No, they... Or now, was he? So, it wasn't until late Tuesday night. I guess in Portland, it probably would have been about 4 or 5. It was after the press conference when everybody's bringing up the GoPro, letting them know they have the video. I guess they finally decided to fucking watch it instead of figuring out how to pin this on the leftists, but they finally fucking charged him. They dropped all charges against the protester, and he's got like a fucking murder, attempted murder, and a like
some, reckless endangerment.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, it's some other lesser charge. They do say that there's been a cops in the room with him the whole time, but like it's Portland Police Bureau, and they had already lied about so much at this point. Like, how do we fucking believe that? Another thing that I forgot to mention with this, prior to the shooting, Ted Wheeler, about a year or so back, had told people I guess it was during George Floyd mostly, so 2 years back, he was saying that the protesters need to hurt a little. Yeah, he actually said that. So he was asked about that. He's like, do you regret your comments? Because like now people are trying to literally hurt. He's like, oh, nobody should have taken it. I was speaking figuratively. So now there's like a lot of leftists on Twitter using the hashtag hurt Ted Wheeler. Like, he should understand we don't mean physically, right? Like, that's his regret, is that people were able to twist what he said when he fucking said make them hurt a little.
Do you think the ruling from the Rittenhouse trial maybe pushed some of this?
I think that's what Portland Police Bureau was hoping that they could do, is figure out a way to spin it so that the homeowner was defending himself.
Yeah. I think that's why I think we took a lot of issue with what we expected would be the result of the Rittenhouse trial. We all knew, but then we had a discussion about the implications of that ruling, and you know how more protesters need to be armed to protect themselves because of people like this who now feel empowered and somewhat feel like they could be protected behind the legal status of defending themselves.
So after his identity was revealed, they finally went into his apartment, and there's video of them he has so many fucking guns, just taking all these guns out, which means, so if they hadn't started screaming, and this good guy with a gun that the NRA has been all about for stopping mass shootings, if the good guy with a gun wasn't there, he probably would have gone and get one of his fucking rifles continued shooting.
I'm sure the NRA issued a nice statement about how a good guy with a gun took care of this, right? They did that.
Oh, no. They've been quiet.
That's weird. Yeah. Oh, that's weird. Huh.
Yeah. And so here's the thing with the Portland Police Bureau, Andy Ngo, and every fucking media outlet that did not do basic fact checking on this shooter and, you know, printed the headlines, shootout between armed homeowner and armed protesters. But the thing with that is that narrative is fucking out there.
No, it is. But I want to say, like, obviously, media pushed that, but I think I have to blame the Portland police more than because they're the one that provided that information to those media outlets. Sam can attest to this firsthand, where the police can push the narrative, and you know these news media. That's initially, especially when they're breaking news stories.
That's
when they're breaking.
It's integrity in reporting. They should have done some fact checking.
They also don't care.
They don't. They don't. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, that narrative is out there. A lot of the correct information is out there, but only in certain communities. There's people out there that are still thinking, "Oh no, Antifa went on his property." Like, that's what happened, and that's they're not going to get the information that has been released. Where like, no, he came out to them. He was the aggressor, because it's pretty much dropped. National media is not fucking talking about it. With Andy Ngo, all these papers pushing this out, and it did go out nationally that it was a shootout between the armed homeowner and armed protesters. Even the right-wingers finding a black guy to say was the shooter. That narrative is already out there. And if this man dies before he goes to court, that's all it'll ever be to a lot of people.
Sorry to interrupt, but what the media can also do, some of the tricks they can do, is while they can edit the original story with updated information, they don't have to broadcast that new story.
Right.
So they can push out that initial story that the police gave them. Which brings me to another point. Why? Now, I understand why Fox News would, but I don't understand why increasingly so the media are just trusting police when in so many cases the initial narrative they push out becomes completely fucking false when the body cam footage or other footage from witnesses come out. And so I don't understand why the media is so fucking trusting. That's what I don't understand. But then again, to my point earlier, places like Fox News can push out this shootout between Antifa and homeowner results in, one death. And then all the people are like, good, fuck Antifa. You know, that's what
and
you
get for being. That's exactly then, their response.
And then they get updated information. They don't have to fucking put that link on their front page of their fucking website. They can bury it.
And they're not going to.
Right.
And this is where I say that narrative that was set is going to continue to be the narrative that's pushed in certain circles. We see this with George Floyd. Like, it's done and over. And there are still people out there screaming that, well, he tried to spend a fake counterfeit bill. But yet that it's already been determined, like, no, it wasn't counterfeit. He wasn't trying to.
Even if that was true. Like, they're just law and order. They're just trying to.
Right, but, like, it's you can give them correct information. Like, it can be, like, this is absolutely false. It's come out. There's proof that it's false. And they're not going to grasp that. They're not going to accept that because they're going to cling to the earlier
because reports. That's the narrative they want to push.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, speaking of George Floyd, breaking today, the verdict was reached in the federal trial. Just real briefly, the three cops who aided Derek Chauvin in pinning George Floyd to the ground have been found guilty. They could potentially face life sentences. It's probably not going to be the case. I doubt it'll be that harsh. But they were found guilty of violating his civil rights.
They're going to be in prison for life.
Their defense was that, you know, Derek Chauvin was the senior officer, and they went with, you know, with what he told them to do, and the prosecutor had none of he took none of that shit. He's like, right. Fuck off, like, you know, when someone's in jeopardy, so we had some good news.
Just as long as the sentences don't run like
concurrently,
yeah, that they'll probably be in prison for the rest of their life.
Well, good. At least a victory in that. But I think it's also because that case that the George Floyd was very polarizing, like a very blatant act. I don't see this happening. I don't see this recurring with police actually being accountable or being held accountable in the future. I think is because the video and the egregiousness of the act. Just like the officers with Breonna Taylor, nothing. The officers for the little protest that was happening in Portland, those officers, nothing for them either. So it was only because of the egregiousness. But by and large, the police will continue to get away with murdering people.
And it was a citizen who had filmed it all.
Right.
So like it was all. I mean. All live stream. It was egregious. It was
horrible. It's a special circumstance, and I don't see this being repeated. I don't think this is a turning point where police will all of a sudden now be being held accountable. I think that was just a situation where because that person was there recording from start to finish, that pushed, that got the entire country, even people on the right. Now, we had the ones, some on the right, the more moderate ones,
right,
were, you know, applauding the Derek Chauvin guilty verdict. But by and large, this is, you know, the very reason for that protest in Portland, because Portland continues to have shitty police and police action. I don't see the police getting any better. I don't see any action. And then the media will continue to push their narrative.
All right, Tim, I want to talk a little bit about T-Rex, June Knightley. Said my Twitter feed has been filled with everything about Portland. And some of the hardest to read were stories of T-Rex because this woman seemed like a remarkable woman. 60 years old, she was disabled, walked with a cane. She joined the protests in 2020 when a George Floyd protest just went by our house. She was out there every single week, helping to direct traffic to help keep people safe. So these protests happened. The protests that happened there, I believe it was a weekly protest, that march that they did. For, I think his name was Patrick Kimmins, was somebody who was killed by police in 2018. So protests were fairly close to her house, so she started going out every week to help out with them. The stories I've read, like, one person was saying that she had given them a free place to live for a while, and she became like a kind of a mother figure to her. She is a lot of the driving force for a lot of the mutual aid that's going on in Portland. She's helped start up a lot of those things, and she seemed to really love her community, and she loved being a part of it. She loved helping others. She seemed like a total fucking badass, and like just the amount of grieving I've seen out of Portland.
Am I wrong in saying that if I'm misremembering, wasn't she engaged and actively involved in over 200 protests, or was that the GoPro person? I know one of them had been involved.
She's probably 200. You think every week she's been out there.
One of the articles I read mentioned that, and well, I think they were talking about the victims.
These were the weekly ones, but think of how many protests came out. Like it said every week, but some of those weeks there were definitely multiple days of protests.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I mean, she was definitely, I mean, a heavy, heavy activist, and especially doing so while, you know, I mean, she's working these marches while, you know, disabled and in a cane.
60 years old.
The 60's not that old.
60 years old, cane and disabled.
You can't.
We don't see that many people in our the protest.
Not that age. No, you really don't.
And for her to be a regular out there, and for her to, like, push for so much mutual aid, to do things to better her community. Like we have people like that in our community as well. And I know, I mean, I think of Alita, who's a little bit older, and like Alita's been like a mother figure to me. I think she has bettered our community in a lot of ways. And if something ever happened to her, I'd be fucking devastated. And I like, when I think of these people who are looking at T-Rex, it seems like that's their Alita.
They lost a very powerful, I would say, figure and a powerful friend due to the fucking outrageous, insane fascist.
Mm-hmm. Over somebody who fell into fucking Andy Ngo's propaganda. He believed they were terrorists. And, I mean, all of the people over there were unarmed, too. They didn't even have a fucking chance.
Yeah, and that's mainly why, that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast, is because, you know, a lot of people aren't really even aware of what the disinformation, misinformation campaigns and shadow hate speech that, you know, they hide it and frame it in a way to get and push a narrative that is bringing hatred out in more recent years and driving people to do these things and be more outward. And I think it's going to get worse. These people have to be armed. These people have to be armed to these protests going forward. I mean, this is just the beginning.
When we get enough Patreon supporters to get bonus episodes, we're going to do an episode on fucking coded language.
Technically, you know, the last episode we went way, way over our record time, and so anyone who was a patron got 25 minutes of extra.
Oh yeah, I mean, like content. Actual episodes.
Just like this episode's just for you. Yeah.
Because there's certain things that like deserve their own episode. Like when it comes into the language of Nazis, I can talk for a fucking hour on that. When it comes into what, like, policing, why police are bad, and like, people have complained that we don't go into enough detail, but that shit will take an entire fucking episode. So that would be like bonus material, like bonus episodes if we ever get to that point. But we need more money to get to a point where we can do more episodes.
Really, we do depend on, you know, we just launched a Patreon, so, you know, it's still a new and growing thing, you know, where I'm trying to push out these episodes as early. I'm working fucking hard, I'm not gonna lie. I'm getting these episodes out, and since we've launched a Patreon, I've gotten the episode out on Friday night to our patrons that have full access to the material. Even the bonus content episode was pushed out early. So I'm working really hard to make sure that people who would like the content and want it early, want early access to it, and also want the extra content we provide. So if you want that access, do sign up on Patreon. We have several different levels. It is a monthly, so it's not per episode. So if we do an extra recording, like, you won't be billed extra for that. And we really would appreciate that. Help us upgrade our equipment, have the ability to interview people and have guests, things like that, because, you know, the studio setup we have right now wouldn't allow for someone coming here and having a record. So that would allow us to upgrade our equipment. So we'd really appreciate anyone who, if you really enjoy the show and you're an avid listener, you know, hop on Patreon and consider supporting the show. We'd really appreciate it, and it'd really help grow the show in a direction that, in our minds, what we want the show to be.
We'll suck you off for $5 a month.
Wow. I heard a wee there.
Yeah, all three of us will.
Okay. Just flay you for five. Okay. Well, on that, and that's going to wrap us up for episode 53 of Apostates on the Fringe. Thank you guys again for joining us this week. Again, so to find us on Patreon, it's Apostates on the Fringe. You can find links to our Patreon on our website and our links we posted on Facebook. As always, you can check out us on social media. If you'd like links to the articles or to contact the show, visit us at apostatepod.com. And we will see you all next week.
Fuck PPD, fuck Andy No, and rest in power, T-Rex.
And Christianity is fucking hate speech, right, Sam?
Yeah, and fuck Putin.
Thank you all very much.
Views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the views and opinions of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. For links to all our musical contributors, go to apostatepod.com and check the About Us page. A big thank you to Michael Scott Arden, who allows the show to use his full catalog.